But we got our name.
At this point, would like to call to order the Napomo Community Services District meeting of March 22nd, 2006. Please join me in the flag salute. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Director Eby.
Here.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Morrissey.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
President McPhee.
Here. At this time, before we go to public comment, since we will be participating in the ethics workshop up in Templeton this afternoon, except for Mr. Trotter, would like to conclude the meeting at around 12:30. There will be sandwiches provided for lunch, and then we can gather back in carpool up there. So with that said, I will now open this to public comment for any item that is not on the board's agenda, but within the board's jurisdiction. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name when you come to the podium. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bill Nelson. I live up in the Black Lake community. I came this morning to express some concern over the operation of the wastewater treatment plant up in the Black Lake community that is owned and operated by your district. My first concern is that I understand we have been supplying reports to the water board for some time and continue to, that our wastewater effluent does not meet the standards of the permit that we currently are operating under. I also understand that the Black Lake community is taking some action that they can within their ability to correct the regenerative water disposal units or water softeners that have been causing the problem. However, I do say that it is the responsibility and the only people with authority to correct this problem is your district. And that gives me some concern that we might be fined, which I hope we're not, because if we are fined, it's a waste of money, frankly. It'd be much better spent on correcting the problem. Second problem I have concern with is in 2007, I anticipate a bright young engineer is going to come down from the water district and rewrite our permit. When he does, I suspect that the permit is going to be much more stringent than the one we are currently operating under, which we cannot meet the requirements of. If that's the case, it could be anything from a new plant down to just some minor adjustments. That's going to raise sewer bills and cost money, I understand. Probably a 218 discussion go on as to what will happen. But since you don't own the property on which your plant is operating, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. What are our plans? Suppose we have to build a new plant. How do we expand it? Where do we put it? Things of this nature. And all I ask is that you be considering that in your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment before we move to the agenda? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, Jim Taft, a resident of Napomo, in the sphere of influence and user of community services water. We are excited to hear of the new law changes that have taken place and concerning the powers that NCSD might be inheriting. And I'm representing Old Town Napomo Association. And we're looking forward to sit down and the new board is elected and the dust settles and sit down and talk to you about some of the powers that might be coming in being. That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Any questions?
Yes. What powers that we are allowed to have would you be interested in us taking up?
I think I'll decline to comment on that. I would like the new board to sit down and evaluate it themselves. There are some powers that might come in that would certainly be helpful to the community of Old Town Nipomo.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for our consent agenda. Warrants, minutes, parcel contract amendment for our EIR, and surplusing some obsolete blowers. Any comments?
On the minutes. On the minutes.
Okay.
On E1, under my comments, it says the
page.
The page 2 of 6 in the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
It says, in the first paragraph under E1, says, the committee expects a final EIR about October 2006. I was trying to say no earlier than to keep people from getting their expectations too high. If I said about, okay, but what it really meant was no earlier than October 2006. The other one was, on L, about the announcement of closed session, this is on page 5 of 6. On L, it says the board, there was no reportable action. I'm sorry. It does say 3 that it is reportable. Forget what I said. That I didn't read that right. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wynn?
None. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Trotter?
Is it appropriate to have it on the consulting services contract now? Within the consent group?
Is it appropriate to have that revision on the consent calendar? As long as the directors have no questions, then okay. We thought we could put it on the consent.
Can I mention this? Bruce, I mentioned this before. In every instance, the Nipomo Community Services District should be mentioned before Santa Maria in the sequence. That's true of the main report and references like the consultant services agreement.
Staff, apologies. What we printed in the document here is the original text. We didn't adjust the text. We thought it was an historic document, and we are adjusting all of our language and all future references according to the board's directive. But we didn't feel like we could go back. We debated it.
That's fine. That's fine.
Mrs. Worsing?
For D5.
For D5, okay.
This is to, no, this is not, I didn't want D5 on it. Double check. Contract amendment.
Which is so, D4.
I saw something in here about bids going out. I read in here.
In the minutes?
Pardon me. That was on E1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made my notation on it.
Right.
Place. Okay. Sorry, thank you.
No problem. Let me see what I got here. My dog-eared page. Under the warrants on page 2, the Nixon machine shop, $1,575 for APCD reporting. What kind of information or whatever would they provide to
the
APCD?
The APCD requires us to report on all of our mobile generator equipment.
So this was for the one of the mobile?
That's right.
Gas-powered?
That's for our mobile equipment. We'll see a similar charge coming. We'll be source testing our stationary generator at the Sundale well this spring, and we expect to actually pay about the same just for that one stationary generator source test. But this is for our mobile equipment.
Okay. Any items to be pulled? Then we need a motion and a second to approve the warrants as presented with the amendment by Mr. Eby.
I so moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Eby, second by Mr. Wynn. Any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, would you call for the vote, please?
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Bercy?
Yes.
President Verhaeghe?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item E1, supplemental water pipeline request for proposals. Mr. LeBrun.
May I ask a question
before we get started?
Okay. If I might. We just passed the consent agenda, which I have no objections to. Item D5 on surplus equipment. Is this the only legal notice that goes out that says that these are for sale or surplus? I've never seen it in the newspaper. Not that it happens very often.
Right. No, this is our first step. First, we get the approval of the board to surplus the equipment, and then we advertise for sale. So that's just...
Thanks.
We will advertise those, and pretty specialized equipment. We're going to try to target some markets where the blowers are used in wastewater treatment.
Good.
Okay. So with that, item E1.
Thank you, President Verhaeghe. We'll actually have an update on this item from the District Projects Assistant, Mr. Bruce Buell, and I'll go ahead and let him take it from here.
And if I might, I'd like to pass out,
this is already in your board packet, but I thought it would be helpful for our discussion to look at the timeline for issuing the request for proposal and securing proposals from design teams.
Your board did look at a rough draft of this request for proposal on March 8. According to the strategic plan outline, our hope is to get your approval today and to circulate the request for proposal. We would place it, as we have with other RFPs, on our website. We post it in the window, and the protocol generally is to mail to the firms that we believe would respond. There is a list of potential firms in the back. District Council has suggested that we add North Coast Engineering and Gearing Taylor to that list. Any firm, Cliff, if you know firms you're particularly comfortable with, we'd be happy to add those as well. We expect to mail those specific requests for proposals either tomorrow or Friday, and then according to this timeline, if your board approves this this morning, we would be receiving proposals April 21. What we're proposing is that the staff screen the proposals down to a short list. We could get, in my experience, 5 to 10 proposals, and usually there is a break that the top 3 to 5 firms are the firms you really want to interview. We're requesting your board appoint a committee. I believe the president is has some names in mind, and those members of the board, we would respectfully request participate in an interview of the short list somewhere around May 17, so that a recommendation from that group could be forwarded to your board on May 24. It's our hope that we can pick one firm for negotiation. I'm sure the board has been through these efforts before. The law requires us to use a quality-based selection. We can use cost as a component or a criteria in the selection process, but that can't be the primary determinant. So what you do is you pick one firm, which you believe to be the best fit for the district, and then negotiate with that firm, and we would bring back an agreement and a specific budget out of that negotiation for subsequent board consideration. So that's sort of a timeline or a process component. In regard to the proposal, we've attempted to include all of the services we believe will be required. And our concept for this assignment is to primarily focus on the design and the bidding components, although we want a firm to express their availability and their expertise in design services during construction. That would probably be a separate agreement. And as we've noted, we are not proposing that the firms perform value engineering in this effort, nor are we proposing a pre-qualification process for contractors. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions or to provide more feedback on the proposal itself.
Mrs. Worsing, please.
Well, you know, this is where I came into D4, item D4, when it's into the Douglas Wood and Associates. And it says here, in addition, staff has requested that Doug Wood perform additional cultural and biological EI walkover surveys of Orchard Avenue between Joshua Street and Southland Street, given the uncertainty regarding future usage of the works proposed by the Santa Maria subdivision. Attached is a proposed from Doug Wood to perform these additional services. So when you do the design, when you go hire, we go to contract with a design, will that affect their, without knowing that in advance when you send out these proposals?
Well, yes. The work your board authorized with Doug Wood under the consent calendar will have been done. Doug Wood will accomplish all of that work before the 24th, before this item is brought to your board. And understand that what he's doing is the archaeological and biological review. So he'll identify any potential problems, any potential roadblocks in that stretch between Joshua and Southland, and that'll be available to the consultants as they're submitting their proposals.
Thank you.
Mr. Wynn? Mr. Eby?
Yes, I have a couple. I'd like to suggest some wording change in the letter hit of the cover letter, I guess you call it. Mm-hmm. In the first paragraph, in the description of it, it's a project, construct a water pipeline between the district's potable water system and Santa Maria. Second sentence, it says, the purpose of the inner tie is to, I would suggest you say initially deliver up to 3,000 acre feet per year, because we're not going to start out at 3,000. And subsequently deliver up to 6,300. That lets them know that it's not going to be 3,000 at day one, and it's going to be phased in gradually up to the 6,300, just for clarification.
What was your other word for the 6,300?
Subsequently deliver up to 6,300 acre feet. Then I had a question on your services requested. How much of this is dictated by public procurement laws, the details of how many copies of this you want and so forth? Are there such things?
No, sir. No, this is purely discretionary. What I've written into this RFP is my concept of what we'd like to see the design team submit. For example, submit 20 sets of the pre-design studies. I think the board will want to see those, list district council, our own staff, myself, your general manager, your field supervisor, Doug Wood, other professionals, we're going to ask to review these. So the protocol here is where I see third parties reviewing the submittal I'm asking for 20, where it's straightforward, where down here the 10 copies of the administrative draft, I see that going to the board and staff. So that was the method of the madness.
I guess my broader question was, where I used to work, we did all procurement subject to ASPRs, the Armed Services Procurement Regulations, mm-hmm. and yeah. also after that the FAR is the federal accounting yeah. requirements. Mm-hmm. Is there a similar thing for that requires that you go out to so many bidders and you don't have this sort of thing here?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question. So when we go out to bid the construction, there are regulations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
But what are those called?
Well, it's under the California Contracts Code. Specifically, there's a provision for community services districts, but we do need to advertise and to go out to bids, and then those bids come back, and we make a determination, basically three, is the bid responsive, who's the low bidder, and is the bidder a responsible bidder?
But that's with contractors.
But that's for the eventual contractor.
That's for actual physical work rather than paperwork.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Then I had another question on your first bullet here. Pre-design studies prescribed in the EIR. Mm-hmm. Where can I find these studies that are prescribed in the EIR?
Okay. Well, as you know, we now have an administrative draft EIR, and Chapter 5 provides the impacts and the mitigations, and inside embedded in those mitigations, for example, under the biological studies, if we were to route a pipeline up Hutton Road when we cross Napomo Creek, we would be required to prepare these list of studies in these dates. So that's the sort of thing that we'd ask the consultant to respond to. And the method of the madness is we want it all done in one comprehensive look. We don't want to piecemeal this. We want to get the same consultants preparing the same analysis for all of the mitigations.
Okay. So that's the answer to my question. Is that. Then another comment up in the proposal requirements, up in on page 3.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
In the introduction area, wouldn't it be appropriate to have ask them to have also a cover letter and an executive summary?
Yes, that would be fine. That's an excellent idea.
And then nowhere in here do I see latitude for the contractors to offer recommended optional approaches. Do you see any mm-hmm. opportunity for them
yes,
to do
I
that?
Yes, I do. Under proposal requirements, number one, introduction, the second bullet says discuss any proposed scope amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen frequently is this is an opportunity for the design firm that's proposing to be creative. And this is where I frequently see, we know that you requested X, Y, and Z, but in addition, we're going to give you X, Y, and Z, but in addition, we'd like you to consider alpha, beta, and delta.
Good. That's exactly where I had it inserted.
Mm-hmm. Then would you add the words and alternatives?
It's fine with me. Works for me.
I think that spells it out.
Okay, and then finally, on page 4 under selection process, interviews are tentatively scheduled for the middle of May. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate them to submit the proposal and the price and that's it, or do you expect there to be a best and final offer?
Oh, no, these are sealed proposals, as you know, you've got the big envelope, and inside you've got a budget envelope. We're doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
But no, we don't want the firms to fiddle with the proposals after they're submitted. We want to be able to compare submittal A with submittal B without changes along the way.
Okay.
Mr. Trotter.
I have a question of Ed. Had you suggested that you use the term subsequent delivery,
mm-hmm.
That implies that you think or the facilities could be built in stages.
Mm-hmm. I hope they are.
You hope they are built in
stages?
That's,
yes, I hope that we would first have build out our system to be capable of 3,000 acre feet per year.
Yeah.
By not spending the whole amount on it. I mean, suppose, for example, there's going to be probably three pumps on the Santa Maria side of the river to handle 6,300. So if initially we only need 3,000, if we could put in two pumps, we'd save the cost of the third pump that we could spend the money on that later when we needed it. There's no sense spending all the money you don't need for all the capacity you don't need initially if you can first build out to one set of capacity and later build out to the complete capacity.
I respect what you say, and I agree with what you say. However, we must remember that our partners, hopefully our partners, are going to participate in the construction of this.
Right, and just, I hate to interrupt this discussion, but you know, that will be a future decision that the board will make. I mean, that. When the contracts come back in and are bid in the alternative, which will likely be the case, the board will have the ample opportunity to conduct that discussion and to come up with a plan as to how they want to approach the actual construction itself. You don't need, you know, this isn't the time to wrestle with that decision. It's okay to have a brief discussion about it because it's in the context of the design proposal, but it's not. This isn't the time to resolve the issue as to whether or not the construction is going to be phased or the methodology of the construction. So
unless it actually changed the manner of the design.
Well, but that's the reason why I think Mr. Buell wrote this so broadly is in the way it's written is so that that will do it. But kind of remember, it's the bid documents themselves which are in here, which will come back to the board. That will actually dictate the methodology and the timing of the various construction of the components. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we don't need them.
What you're saying is true, but I still think that the project description should let them know that on day one we don't need 6,300 acre feet per year.
And I don't have a quarrel with that. I'm just saying.
And that gives them the latitude
about having a broad discussion now about what the ultimate project is going to be when that's not ruled before the board.
Mr. Trotter, please.
I'll make one more comment and then I'll go away here on this subject. We don't want to imply to our partners two things. Number one, we're up front with the costs and the funding of this. I think the partners should be in early. And it's their option when they take the water. We're going to have a struggle here at one point with distributing costs and phasing in of the partnerships. Mm. So with that, I'll go away here.
Mrs. Worsen.
And maybe may we be reminded who the partners are, please?
The project for the first 3,000 acre feet is dictated by our settlement agreement and includes the purveyors, Golden State Water, Rural Water, and then the Woodlands Mutual Water Company. And for the additional 3,300 acre feet of capacity in the pipeline, we envision that water being made available to new development on the Mesa in order to meet the hopeful, inevitable requirement of the county that all new development requires being watered by supplemental
and
water.
And the name of the partners would be?
There's no name on it. There's no assignment of that 3,300. The intent being that we facilitate the delivery of supplemental water to new development, plan new development in the sphere of influence, and thus facilitate the requirement that the county come forward with for requiring supplemental water.
So you have three varieties of water. You have initial Napomo water, you have partners water, and you have future development water. Is that true?
Aren't we getting way off?
Yeah, this is getting a little far off.
I think we're debating the first clause here in the agreement, but I think to answer that question, first of all, we went through the draft objectives at our last meeting, and those are coming back
April 12th.
At April 12th, and you know, within our environmental impact report, our EIR for this project, and at that time, those would be the appropriate time to take a look at those questions. This is just a design engineering request for a proposal. Again, I think we're wrestling with questions that are somewhat connected, but are certainly going to be addressed and resolved by the board at a future date.
And, Mr. President, if I might,
yes, please, Mr. Buell.
I don't disagree with District Council that your bid spec will provide opportunities for the board to mix and match project components, but I'd also like you to remember that in the strategic plan, after you have certified the final environmental impact report, there's also an opportunity for the board to do project selection before you go into the detailed final design. Mm-hmm. So multiple points to get to the issues that Director Eby is and Director Trotter have been raising.
Yeah, and as far as financing the project, that's not part of the design process. That will happen at some point in time.
Actually, staff expects to present a draft funding plan to your board on April 12th and a more detailed review of that funding plan on April 26th. And I'd like the board to continually to visualize that everything is interconnected, that you need CEQA, your environmental review, you need your design, you need your permits, you need your funding, you need your land and your right-of-way. All of these project components have to be resolved along the path to make the project a reality.
True, but with this, we're just requesting to send an RFP out to the appropriate firms for their response for putting together the...
If the board has any interest, I did not attach the draft objectives to this RFP, but once your board adopts objectives, I'd be happy to send those out to those firms on the list so that they get a fuller definition of what your board is thinking.
I think that needs to happen once they're ironed out.
And we have copies of those draft objectives for members of the audience at the back. Is that right?
Okay. Any other discussion on this RFP for supplemental water design? Mr. Wynn?
No.
Mr. Eby? Ms. Wersing?
No.
And Mr. Trotter? Okay.
Move approval.
Then we actually, hang on, Mr. Tiff. We have a two-stepper here. One is to approve the RFP with the amendments. And then the other is a motion to form an ad hoc committee to assist Mr. Buell in this design process, RFP design process.
We just back that up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seitz.
First of all, the proposal is of course, has to be approved by a motion after public comment. But secondly, under our rules, the president appoints two members. Typically, does anybody want to volunteer? And then the president says, it's not by a motion or a formal action of the board.
For a ad hoc,
to appoint an committee. Ad hoc committee to.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz, and you'll probably have to remind me every time.
That's okay.
Yeah. because memory is getting shorter with maturity. So at this time, I'd like to open it to public comment on this item, which is the design. Mr. Teff, please. We need one of those battery-operated portable microphones or something.
Jim Teft, resident of Napomo. I share the same concerns of Mr. Eby on procurement regulations that govern this process. After many years in federal government and looking at the federal acquisition regulations, it's important to know what process is being followed here. For example, I don't have all the documentation that you folks have, but I don't see anything on here on the Commerce Business Daily and the advertising to all the potential procurement people that might be interested in that. I know that that's a government requirement. And also, on your committee to review the proposals, is the board contemplating having any outside individuals or agencies involved in that selection process?
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Teff. And Mr. Seitz, would you like to...
First of all, I'm going to have to plead some ignorance. I'm not familiar with federal procurement law, so I want everybody to understand that. But we are following the procedures of the California Contracts Code in going out, as Mr. Buell has expressed. When you hire a consultant, especially any consultant, it's quality-based. We go out for requests for proposals so that there is a variety or a number of proposals that will come back to the board for their evaluation. There is more articulated, I guess, I've already referenced this, requirements when you actually go out to bid the project. But this is just for the design of the project, not the bidding of the project. We're not hiring a contractor, we're not buying materials, we're not constructing the project, we're just taking a look at design professionals to design the project. So I want to make sure that that's clear, and it's our intent, needless to say, it's our intent to comply with the law, so we will take all steps and to make sure we do that.
And I'll want to answer your question about the ad hoc committee, and Mr. Seitz can correct me if I'm incorrect, that I do believe it is within the purview of the ad hoc committee to also request or solicit other community members to participate. Is that correct, well, Mr. Seitz,
no,
or not? It's sort of gray.
The public participation in this process will come at in many of the steps that we're going to take. For example, this step right here is a public process. The selection of the engineering firm will be a public process. The ad hoc committee is only function, as I understand it, would be to make a recommendation to the board as to them. The board, on the other hand, will use its own independent judgment whether to accept that recommendation or not, or to choose another engineering firm. That's it's just going to be a recommendation eventually as to what firm. The entire board will be available to review, and the public, the various contracts and the various engineers that come forward.
Excuse me, I just wanted to ask, would the board be able to look at all the contracts that come in, or just the ones that are selected by the ad hoc?
No, all the contracts.
We get to look at them all too. Mr. Wynn.
And actually, these aren't contracts. These will be requests. These will be proposals.
Yeah, these will be their design proposals.
I think you instructed us 3 years ago when we had an ad hoc committee that we wanted to add public members to. You said that if any member of the public were made a member
that it automatically became a Brown Act organization with all of the noticing requirements and all of the record-keeping requirements of a full board meeting. Yeah. And so if it's a preliminary sort of thing where it's going to go to the public, say the next step, it was simple for it. I think you told us it would be simpler if we just did it as an ad hoc committee without.
Right. And that, again, that's a policy decision for it. But we're simply going to, the way I understand it, the ad hoc committee is certainly going to just simply going to make a recommendation to the board. And keep this in mind that just because if the president appoints an ad hoc committee, that doesn't mean that the board doesn't change its mind on a different process as we move forward, too. It's not a final commitment to any particular procedure.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Sykes. And is there any other public comment? Can you make it short, Jim?
On the Jim Taft, on a similar type procurement for the Taft Street Enhancement Project, they actually had members of the community on the source selection committee, and they reviewed all the proposals and made recommendations with the county. I don't know if the same rules would apply here or not, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taft. Unfortunately, we're a state agency and operate under those rules.
Staff have lots of freedoms that elected officials don't have.
Yeah. So with that, then I'll bring it back to the board for a motion and a second, with the motion is to, and with the amendments proposed by Mr. Eby.
I will move that we approve it as amended by Mr. Eby, and as we noted. I also noticed that in the staff report, the first attachment is characterized as SMSWP, and those are going to crop up from time to time, but I think we'll find them less and less. But I would ask for approval for that, and then leave open the second portion of this response for the chair.
Yeah.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Nguyen, a second by Mr. Eby. Madam Secretary.
Yes.
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 Yes. And at this time, being present, I would like to form an ad hoc committee to assist Mr. Buell in the design selection process and the evaluation of the proposals. I talked with Mr. Trotter, and he has agreed to serve on that. He will serve as the chair. And Mr. Eby, would you be willing to spend a little more of your spare time?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad you chose Cliff because he's got experience in this, and I was going to suggest that.
He's got a wealth of experience at, coming from the Arvin.
I don't know about the wealth part, but I have some experience.
You have a plethora.
I'm devoid of wealth in every respect.
I know how that is when you're retired. So, with that, then we will move on to item E2. We're just clipping right along here, folks. Thank you very much. The district appointment to the Water Resources Advisory Committee, or RAC. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. Fairly straightforward item here. As the staff report outlines, the Water Resources Advisory Committee advises the County Board of Supervisors concerning all policy decisions related to water resources. Currently, our membership on the committee includes the general manager as the primary member and Director Eby as the alternate. And given my pending resignation, the board needs to reconsider assignment of primary and alternate. Alternate's not required, but I think it's in the best interest of the district. Alternate attends in the primary member's absence, and this is a voting position on the committee. So if it pleases your board, our staff is looking for direction, assignment of a new primary and alternate position to the Water Resources Advisory Committee.
I'd like to open open it for board discussion.
I'll only comment that I think it is very important that the alternate attend the meetings, as we have found many times before. You get in the middle of the process of a discussion, and if the representative has to be absent, it's been very helpful. For example, Mr. Eby has been there pretty consistently and could immediately pick up the thread of the discussion and participate fully. Just showing up when the representative couldn't be there isn't very helpful.
And I guess one final point I missed there, again, is that today your board will nominate a primary and alternate, and then we'll forward that request to the clerk of the Board of Supervisors, actually, and the Board of Supervisors actually formalize that appointment. But it's really quite an administrative process at that point, and it's mainly up to this board.
Could you inform for the board's edification and the public when and where does the RAC meet?
The meetings are held once a month. It's the first Wednesday of each month from 1:30 to 3:30. And we don't have as stable a meeting place as we would like. But generally, it's at the San Luis Obispo City and County Library right there, downtown San Luis Obispo. On occasion, it meets at the Agriculture Commissioner's Auditorium. But
and the agendas are posted on the website?
The agendas are sent to each member by email, and if you ask, they will also put you on a hard copy distribution list, so you can get both if you like.
Each member and alternate?
And alternate, that's right.
Good.
And in fact, any other interested member of the public can be put on that distribution list. Mm-hmm. It's very inclusive.
Okay.
It's also very helpful if our alternate is not a staff person. It is very helpful to have a staff person that does attend regularly, because both the incorporated cities and county government often have their staff, public works, in attendance, and there's things they can accomplish on that level that that we don't do as well.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Mr. Eby?
I've been the alternate on this, and I don't mind being the alternate or the primary on this, but you guys, the board, should know that I just got elected to a position at the Nipomo Community Advisory Council, soon to be the South County Advisory Council, and if you don't want me on too many things at once, because you might think there's a conflict, that no. You should weigh that into your consideration. It doesn't bother me, but
it's a plus.
I just want you to know.
I think it's a plus, because information then gets widely dispersed and you receive a wide range of inputs rather than just from what we have here. Mrs. Wersing, any comments, thoughts?
I would be interested. And I could attend each one, but you were preferring a staff member along with one board member. So we need to.
My only comment is that it's helpful. We've had that pattern in the past, general manager plus one board member. And I think that has been useful often. But again, that's up to the board to decide. It's strictly policy.
Up to the board to make that decision. Mr. Trotter, you're not interested in anything. At this point, I'm going to open it to the public for any input on this particular item. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And when I slam the gavel down, the people that are still upright in their chairs are going to be the stuckies. How's that? What's the board pleasure? Whom would we like to nominate?
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
And it's yourself and the rest of the board for that matter. I don't know exactly all the duties Mr. Buell has, except it's probably about 2.5 positions from the looks of it on paper. But one of the biggest things that we'll be doing during this next year is the pipeline. Is that overloading somebody that's already overly committed? I don't know. Really, Mr. LeBrun would be a better person to comment on that.
Well, again, with the setup, it's worked quite well. I mean, in actuality, since the beginning of this year, Mr. Eby has attended more often than I have. I think I've made one meeting this year. Now, that said, Mr. Buell's assignments are a subset of mine, and they are focused on the water pipeline project. So I think I think you would see Mr. Buell at the meetings regardless of his assignment, whether he's a primary and alternate to the board. He could certainly attend, and I think there would be plenty of occasion where he'd be up in front of the rack presenting progress on our project and carrying our message forward regarding water resources. So that dual appointment could be effective, but again, I think if we have directors who are interested, then as far as the voting seats, they could go to the directors, and our staff could attend as needed. And unless Mr. Buell has objection, and I didn't sense there would be. So I hate to keep lobbing this thing back and forth, but
voice my thoughts on it. I sort of was feeling in that direction that Mr. Eby would be the primary person if he would accept that nomination, and Mr. Buell would be the alternate.
I agree with it.
Okay. And Mr. Buell?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Seitz, do we...
We need a vote.
We need to have a vote. We need to have a motion second for this. So I'm looking for a motion for Mr. Eby to be the member of the RAC and Mr. Buell to be the alternate.
I like that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Trotter. And a second?
I'll make that too, if it would help.
I'm looking for a second.
Because I'm chair, I hesitate to do it. Go ahead and second yourself.
But you don't do it. You don't second.
I can if nobody else is going to do it. And I will second it, thank you.
I'm going to support it.
So, with that, Madam Secretary.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
President Verheyen?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Worsen?
Yes.
Can we get the president on the motion?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Item number E3 is general manager discussion with looking for acquiring the services of a professional recruiter. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. I'll give a brief introduction here and then refer to the subcommittee to see if there's a report. Additions to my comments here. Staff did meet with the subcommittee on March 16th. At that time, we had in front of us a single proposal from professional recruiter, and that's the one in the darker purple packet here. We've since received two additional proposals, which your board has in front of you today. And I do expect one additional proposal to be to us in hard copy by next Monday. With that, the subcommittee discussed the advantages of using a professional recruiter to take us through this process, process that I don't think there's much argument will result in hiring the most important staff position here at the district. With that thought in mind and a review of the cost of what hiring a professional recruiter could amount to and just roughly using a value, clearly we could end up spending in the order of $30,000 to go through this recruitment process with a professional recruiter. And with that in mind, the subcommittee did feel that That would be money well spent to take us through this process. And again, I think maybe at this point, we see the staff recommendation here, but I will defer to the Personnel Subcommittee to see if they have inputs or thoughts that they'd want to present here to the full board before we deliberate our discussion and motion, before the board deliberates and discusses.
Okay, thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Before opening it for questions, just want to let everybody know that, unfortunately, I'm the chair of the subcommittee, or not unfortunately, I'm the chair of the subcommittee, the personnel, and unfortunately my time has not been my own since we had our prior meeting, and the subcommittee has not gotten together as a subcommittee and gone through these three things. In other words, we haven't spoken, but I have gone through them. And so with that, then I'll open it to the board for questions, comments.
Well, my question really is the process. Are we here today to select one of these or just to decide if we're going to use one?
Right. With that input then from the subcommittee, then let me clarify what we're here today to decide. It's one, if the full board supports the idea of moving forward with a recruiter, then what I'll look for is the board direction to the personnel subcommittee to meet and select or make a recommendation for a recruiter based on these three proposals and the one additional proposal which we expect to have in-house on Monday. So then the subcommittee meets and we'll review all four proposals, and we'll come back in front of the board at I think we'll be back in front of the board at the subsequent meeting, April 12th,
with our recommendations.
Give a recommendation to the full board, and looking for the full board's approval then of a single recruiter. The other direction we can take today is if the board desires to proceed with this process in-house, then I've attached a timeline and a draft announcement, which includes a starting salary range, and what staff will look for then would be the approval of the timeline and the announcement and moving forward with that in-house recruiting. So basically two directions to go today.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Worsley.
Excuse me. Have you had any more resumes or interest or applications brought in?
Not at this time. What Director Wersing is referring to is just based on really the news reports of my resignation. We have received at this point one resume of a person who's interested in the permanent position. Just the one, but again, we haven't announced, we haven't gone out and announced the position availability yet, and that is just a resume. Of course, all applicants will be required to fill out a full application, and resumes can be part of that application. So that's where we are there.
Mm. Mr. Trotter?
I don't know the appropriate timing, but I'm very much in favor of having an organization to recruit and recommend a manager.
Mr. Wayne?
Procedurally, wouldn't it make better sense for us to decide first which of the two routes we're going to go before
That's
we
right.
discover before we spend a lot of time on either one of them?
Mm-hmm.
I know in our previous meeting, legal counsel pushed us pretty hard to approve a headhunter as opposed to doing it the way we did it last time, trying not to overstep policy grounds, but maybe not always perfectly succeeding, but good points for attention.
Yeah, well, that is what E3 is, to either decide we will go with a professional recruiter or we'll go the normal method of advertising and going through.
I will support.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was our recommendation to go with a professional recruiter after considering the process and everything like that when we
if I could
met whenever we met.
If I could finish,
not
please?
Too far. Yes, please. Sorry. Mr. Wynn.
My concern is simply that it seems to me that if we go with a headhunter, we're going to spend as much staff time and board time as if we did it ourselves, because we're going to have to sit down with whoever finally we hire and give them all the orientation about the community and what the special needs are and where we are historically and all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. which we have to do either way. So I don't think there's any great efficiency there. I do see that a headhunter will have an access to a larger pool of applicants probably than we would get. But I would be interested in hearing from Mr. Seitz or others what there was about the process last time that they found not so satisfactory that would warrant us spending an additional $30,000 this time.
I'll give it my best shot. But when we went through the last process, I think we had to do it twice. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that delayed the process, because the in-house first process was unsuccessful, and of course the second one was successful, so we spent a fair amount of time doing that. Secondly, as I had discussed in the past, you know, what is the job of a professional recruiter? You know, and that's and of course we're not, so there's a service there. But secondly, you know, when you take a look at the position, what I tried to talk about was what type of person are you want to attract to the position, and then how big of a market do you need to go out to find a person that meets those qualifications? And typically what I've seen us do it in the past, the market that we approach is more or less a limited market. You know, it's, I think last time we had Southern California, Northern California,
and the Valley.
But primarily it was right here in the county. I mean, that's where our selection came from, let me just say that. So I've always viewed professional recruiters as, number one, is coming up with the profile that the district is interested in that person, and then making a determination as to how big of a market. Do we need to go to Oregon? Do we need to go to Washington? Do we need to, you know, or would it be valuable to the district to go out that far and to recruit? The other thing that a professional recruiter can advise the board in is, once you set the qualifications, as to what is the salary going to need to be in order to attract somebody to move. Hmm. Because when we went through this analysis the last time, one of the things that happens is, if you know somebody is going to take a risk to come here to work, because our contracts are basically set up as almost like an interim. You know, we get to know you, you get to know us, and then you enter into what you call the final contract. So anybody that's going to come into this position is going to be taking a risk. And so when you set the salary ranges, you try to figure out who will you attract to take that risk to move. It's one thing for somebody to be here living and saying, okay, you know, I will venture a risk, leave my old employment, take on new employment. But when you go to the outside world to hire a professional to move here, and if somebody's making, I'm just going to say this bluntly, somebody's making $90,000 and is happy, but that's the type of person you want here, offering them $92,000 to come here isn't probably going to get that person here. It may get a disgruntled person making $90,000 to move here, but it won't get a person that's satisfied with their job. And I think a professional recruiter knows that process, knows what it's going to take, will come and get the the qualifications that you want, the type of individual that you want here, and we'll give the board advice as to, okay, what will it take from a salary range to get that person, that type of person here to move from a good job that they're doing well to move here to operate this district. I think that's the most valuable thing that a recruiter would do. Plus, do the advertising, get it in the right magazines, get it out on their own little webs out there. So, and do the initial evaluation to make sure that the people that the applicants that you personally interview meet your the basic profile. So you're not spending that time going through that process.
Mr. LeBrun?
And if I may just add in a bit, I think Mr. Seitz's points about the professional recruiter has been down this road. And while this board has been down the road just some 2 years ago, the recruiter's been down the road many times. The right recruiter's been down the road many times. And while I would agree with Director Wynn that there is going to be a staff and board element of time involved, even with the professional recruiter, and what's lined out in these three proposals indicates it could be quite an investment of time, I would say to you that, and in fact, that time may be comparable to the time that would take of staff and the board by doing it in-house. The time will be spent much more efficiently, and I think that the process will, given the same amount of time, I think the process will yield a stronger result. And really what we're looking for, and if you look at these proposals, the only guarantee is that they will submit to you a number of qualified applicants, on the order of five or more qualified applicants that they've screened down. And then a couple of the folks talk about guaranteeing that if that person is dismissed with cause in the first year, then they will take us through the process again at only charging their expenses. But I think that's where these folks build their reputation, is bringing the board numerous qualified applicants to choose from and achieve comfort with. And I think in your last time down the road, the first yielded no qualified applicants, and the second it was a fairly limited pool. So I think clearly that the broader that pool can be, broader that applicant pool of qualified applicants can be, the more comfortable your board will be with the final decision.
Well, you have answered my question well.
Yeah,
I think.
And I sort of have to chime in that, you know, I don't know about anybody on the board or staff or whatnot. I just don't feel like I have the expertise or experience in going through this process. So, Mr. Eby.
Well, I favor going outside after looking at these proposals for three reasons. One is they each have a process, a well-defined process that has probably evolved over their experience, a successful experience doing this, and I don't know that we have that. I haven't seen our own proposal. And they also have contacts. Having done this before, they have the contacts in the employment world where these people will come from, and they also probably know the right advertising medium to get this message out. And third, they have the experience. They've done this before for this type of job. And just for those three reasons, I'd favor going outside.
I agree.
Mr. Trotter? Okay, open it to public comment on this item. Then seeing none, bring it back to the board for a motion to acquire the services of a TBD professional recruiter.
So moved.
Second.
And a second. Madam Secretary?
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yeah.
Yes.
President Vermeulen?
Yes. And before we move on, is it, Mr. LeBrun, is it certain that we'll have one more
proposal?
Request, or yeah, one more proposal from a professional recruiter on Monday?
Yes.
The 27th.
Yes, I've requested that by Monday the 27th.
Mrs. Worsen. I want to set a date where you and I can meet and go over these things. Would you be available on the evening of the 29th? That'll give us about one day to go over it.
I think so, yes.
That's a
Wednesday evening.
Okay, you want to go to the 30th? It'll be a little easier.
I think so. I'd be more refreshed.
Okay.
That would be good.
Evening, obviously, is better than working hours, so same thing, like 6:30 at my house?
Okay, that's great.
Great. We got that set now, so you know we're really going to do this. Unfortunately, March turns out to be just one of the most hectic months of the year for me, and next week I'll probably breathe a sigh of relief until we meet with Cacho. Okay, that'll be great. Thank you. With that, we'll then move on to item E4, a interim general manager process update. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verhaeven. The interim general manager process, we had been contacted by five persons who expressed interest in filling the role of interim general manager, and those five persons directly received our announcement with a cover memo and a copy of our application for the position, along with in a cover memo noting that the application deadline is at April 14th, and that then highlighting that an interim general manager would need to begin work with the district no later than May 1st. We've actually received one completed application in-house at this point, and that was from someone other than these five who indicated initial interest. So I think that sounds pretty positive. And I have spoke with one of the folks who had expressed interest at the start of the process, and they assured me that they will be applying. So we look to have at least two applications I know of at this time, and I hope to be able to hand, again, the subcommittee a number of applications which they can review and then make a recommendation to the full board. And I thought I had that timeline in here. And I apologize, I don't have that timeline. In 10 years, that application date will close on April 14th, and so following that, we'll have our personnel subcommittee meet, and so at our April 12th meeting, I'll be looking for to get direction from the board to the personnel subcommittee to meet following that meeting with full applications and coming back to the full board on, I believe it's April 22nd is our meeting, is our latter meeting in April.
April
26th? Okay. And so then it's the April 26th meeting when we'd expect to be back in front of the full board with a recommendation from the subcommittee for an interim general manager. And I did attach here also then the announcement that went out on that for the board's information, and I was really all I had on update. If there are any questions or
just
thoughts, thank you.
Just want to make one thing. You know, the selection will be done in closed session, so I don't want anybody to make sure that we have that agenda. We don't. This is a personnel issue in selecting the general manager, and of course, the ultimate selection will obviously become public, but that the other applicants that apply, of course, have an interest in saving their names as being protected vis-a-vis their existing employment. So just want to make sure everybody understands the process here.
So would we, in on this interim general manager, do we see then doing maybe a full board interview, or is it a subcommittee?
Well, I think that there's you know, I would probably think that the subcommittee would come down with two or three recommendations to interview. I mean, that's how I would basically see that working. And then the interviews themselves, of course, would be in closed session.
Yeah, and it would be by the full board.
Exactly. And that may take then, well, we can look to that latter meeting in April, but it may take some special meetings there at the, mm-hmm. toward the end of April.
Yeah.
So the full board's aware of that.
Okay. Okay, then I'd like to open this up for public comment. And seeing none, bring it back to the board. We don't need to take any action on this item.
I have just a brief question.
Mr. Wynn.
There was a retired general manager whose name was suggested to staff, what, 2 meetings ago?
Yeah.
As somebody in the county that might be interested. Has there been any, I'm not saying any names, I'm being careful, but was there any response there as far as you know?
I'm not sure if I know who we're talking about, so we'll have to talk.
Okay, we'll talk.
We can talk offline. I can let you know and make sure that we went out direct to that person.
The name then was said in public meeting, but I'll still wait.
Yeah, and it escapes me, but I think that there's a C in it someplace or something.
Well,
anyway.
Whatever. Yeah, we'll.
Okay.
Then with that, I'd like us to take a 15-minute break, and we'll return at 10:30. Or there's donuts and bagels and things and stuff. So help yourselves.
Thank you.
Back to order.
Hot to trot.
And item number F is manager's report. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Heilig. Written manager's report here. I kept it fairly brief. I had no way to know we'd be so quick through the first half of our agenda.
And I want to thank everybody for that.
However, I will. I just want to highlight that under the administrative other, I have attached at the very end, it's the second attachment, so it's the last page of this packet, the announcement for the annual meeting of the San Luis Obispo County chapter of the Special Districts Association.
Right.
And that being April 21st, and I believe our president attends that meeting. Standard protocol is he attends and is our voting member. If any arrangements need to be made there, we should talk about getting that done at our first meeting in April. So just a heads up there. We also have, of course, a Planning Commission meeting tomorrow that will be the first public discussion of the South County Area Inland Planning Standard for a requirement of supplemental water and some enhancements to water conservation elements of the general plan. And that meeting attendance, was not able to put that on the agenda today for discussion by the board and direction, but I believe this board has set clear policy in the past that staff and hopefully a director or two can convey to the Planning Commission tomorrow. I plan on getting up to Mr. Seitz's office early and to talk about just our how to best use our 3 minutes each in getting our message to the Planning Commission. I have copied out for each of the directors the staff report that is included with that item. And so I'd like to hear from directors maybe on your report who can attend, who plans on attending.
I just might just chime in just for 1 second. Of course, this is the Planning Commission hearing. It has to go up to the Board of Supervisors
right.
To it. But this is very, I've read through the report. It's very consistent with the prior recommendation of the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors to adopt level 3 severity. You might remember that like a year and a half ago. I forget how far back it was.
November 04.
But the recommendations that are in Mr. Hand's report are very consistent with the Planning Commission's prior recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Mm. And I do suspect that The most interesting thing will be is what the HBA, the HBA will be there. So don't...
Home Builders?
The Home Builders Association will be there. Just from the emails that were exchanged prior to this report coming out, you can expect, and I don't know if they've changed their position, but as of about 2 weeks ago, their position was that general plan amendments could go forward, but building permits could not be issued without supplemental water. Of course, this report is not consistent with their reviews. Mm. Because what this report basically says is that they can't, the general plan amendment can't receive final approval. And the final approval means when, the way I understand it, when it comes back to the board and they actually approve it without supplemental water being in effect. So you can, just me looking at my crystal ball with no great accuracy warranted, is that you can expect them to be there, belaying that position or advancing that position before the board. I think, you know, our position has been clear because this, like I say, has been very consistent with our prior letters to the Planning Commission when they adopted recommended survey level 3. That, you know, it was basically our position that being consistent with the prior ones is exactly what's in their report, and that is its final approval supplemental water required for general plan amendments. We've always sort of taken the position that as to land divisions that are consistent with the general plan, no building permits until supplemental. So just sort of keep in mind that's the general thing. I think what you can expect to get is the HBA not to contest the land division component of it, but I do think that you can expect them to contest the general plan amendment.
GPA.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Wynn.
I downloaded this also and looked at it, and to me there's a single glaring weakness that runs through the whole document. And that is, in the majority of places with design, it uses the word should instead of shall.
And that's the water conservation design.
Yes. And as we all know, should is advisory and shall is compulsory. And we urged them not only to adopt a good area planning standard, but to make it mandatory so that you could actually go to anybody that came to you with a design and say, I'm sorry, this does not meet the plan.
And I think staff will advance that. I think we will. It's an excellent observation.
The only other point I want to make here is that also attached to the manager's report is a comprehensive update of projects. And this, of course, was done by our project's assistant, Mr. Buell, and he's available for any questions on that, as I am available for any questions on the manager's report or questions in general.
Larry. Okay.
Mr. Trotter.
I have a question. When is NCSD going to inform its people what Stage 3 means, car washing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
I think that's an excellent question, because what it does is it addresses two separate planning documents. One is that the area plan. It also addresses the issue of our emergency water conservation plan, and I think that's what Cliff is talking about. And it's always been, and we thought this was going to happen. Well, first of all, the board has to take action in order to implement any stage in our water emergency water conservation plan. So at that time, that would, your question would be answered, because that's, we would have to do public announcements. Third, and probably most importantly, and maybe this is something that Mr. Buell and I have worked on these issues on in the past, is we really need to update that emergency water conservation plan. It is, predates my tenure as your legal counsel, and I'm not saying it's a bad plan. I'm just saying it needs to be updated to make it consistent with the current water code requirements. And that may well be, if we're going to go into the stage three and the board's going to certify stage three, we should probably, as an advanced thing, get that thing
I want to make sure we're talking about the same stages. Now, level three severity, is that what we're talking, the Board of Supervisors' determination of a level three severity for groundwater in the Napomo Mesa area? Now, that is not specifically our water emergency stages. But I do think that there is a need for the district maybe to step up and say why level three severity, what it means. When the Board of Supervisors determine that in their RMS, what that means to the district, how it is that the district its policies still allow service letters for new construction to go out in the light of the level three severity. Now, then the separate issue of our water emergency planning stages that are outlined in our code for when we get into water emergencies, I think that the right timing on updating that very outdated part of our policy is once the Basin Management Committee defines the action levels. So again, the Basin Management Committee in the Napomo Mesa Management Area is going to work to define action levels that will dictate what the purveyors have to do as far as their pumping and when they have to cut back. So it seems to me that that's the opportunity to get those two things to mesh.
That answers my question.
Okay, I want to make sure.
There is a plan. There's a plan planned.
There is.
Yes.
There's like an antiquated map. There's an antiquated plan.
There's that antiquated plan needs update, and then that is the way the district will be managing its water supply off into the future. Once we have supplemental water, what will actually define how much of that, the initial 3,000 acre feet, the district has a 2,000 acre foot reservation on. So we've got 2,000 acre feet of water that we have a reserve of the initial 3,000 for our current customer base. And how much of that water has to be brought in each year will be dictated by one, there's a minimum amount of delivery that we must take under our MOU, and that will probably carry over into our final contract. But two, it'll be then defined by the basins, the health of the groundwater basin. And that's one thing we struggled with back when we were talking about the MOU and the settlement agreement, is we wanted to make sure that not knowing if we get into a 10-year wet period and our groundwater basin's in great health, we didn't want to be locked into bringing in 3,000 acre feet of water every year at $1,250 an acre foot if the basin didn't need it and it was just spilling back over to Santa Maria. So we do have a minimum schedule, but our annual importation will be defined by basin management. So it's going to be a key element for us.
Mrs. Worsett, please.
Has it been determined the pumping totals, NCSD versus Golden State Rule and the Woodlands? As a combined pumping?
No, Woodlands is not required to report pumping to anybody. They're a mutual water company. We do have numbers on rural and on Golden State water. And of course our own district numbers, but that's one thing that's maybe more appropriate on close. But Mr. Markman and Mr. Seitz and I will be sitting down discussing. There is a proposal now, a draft proposal on the table from Woodlands on our water delivery to Woodlands.
Does Woodlands meter their pumping?
I don't know. I don't know. I imagine they do, but...
Ask John, is it practical for NCSD as a lead agency to request that they monitor their pumping?
Would they
be offended by that?
You're dragging up both brain cells, so I can't, what I'm going to tell you, I can't say with a lot of accuracy. I do believe that they put a requirement that they meter their water service at the residential units. That they have a tiered rate structure, and that was incorporated, this is my best recollection, that it was incorporated into their a specific plan as a requirement. So I know that they do some metering. I don't have any recollection of a requirement of them metering at the wells. Having said that, it is also my belief, and I know I'm looking forward, that the management committee, under the stipulated judgment, will request, and my guess is Woodlands does not want to be seen in a position of objecting to putting in their well productions, because I think everybody's going to be required to do that, whether, you know, especially between the big four pumpers. I have a hard time thinking that Woodlands was going to sit back and say no to that request, but we'll see.
Let me add, if I may, that looking at the MOU that this district signed with the Woodlands, MOU I think is right, years ago, and the draft water sale agreement right now, Woodlands is liking to take the stance of comparing their residential water use to the district.
I think we should probably be talking about this in closed session.
Okay.
Rather than a general debate.
I do have one comment on the page 2 of 4 of your projects update. In discussions with project manager for Caltrans regarding the Southland shop, and Caltrans would be very pleased if we just moved the shop and upgraded rather than just upgrade it and then comes time they put on the on-off ramps right there, they've got to bulldoze it, to be honest with you.
They don't own it.
One of the project managers is a friend. We go to the same church. We usually talk on Sunday. And he said, you know, this may be coming to fruition about getting the funding for the Southland. And he said, you know, it'd be nice to have that shop, you know, you were talking about they were going to upgrade it. He said, it'd be nice to just have it moved. I understand they don't own the property, but remember they're Caltrans. But, you know, I just wanted to throw this out. If there's some thought, you know, maybe we'd want to relocate the shop. I don't know. I just want to put it out there.
Tell them that one of your directors suggested they move the highway over. We'd prefer that.
They are Caltrans.
Which doesn't mean all that much.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. They are looking with the increase in funding and whatnot, they're looking to do some projects in this area, and that happens to be one of them.
Could we ask that this topic be agendized for a discussion, probably in closed session, at some future date?
What, Caltrans?
No, I'm talking about the policy implications of what kind of upgrades we do or don't do at Southland.
Now that would be open session.
Because of litigation?
No, that's the thing, it would be open session.
Okay, I'm talking about potential litigation.
With Caltrans?
Yes, and with a neighbor across the freeway.
Well, I'll take a look at it. my gut level tells me that that, you know, this would be a, that the upgrades would be a public determination, public session.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Trotter.
I have two questions. Had some a spill here recently, sewer spill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you? Does Dan have a policy of exercising all his alarms monthly or bi-monthly or whatever?
Not a written policy that I'm aware of, no.
Well, it's critical to the operation of a water and sewer system, and I suggest that be done. Secondly, in an email, you talked about a Black Lake water facility upgrade.
Yes.
Is this far enough in the future? So funding, how do you suggest that be funded?
That will be funded from the water reserve account on Black Lake.
There is?
There are funds available.
You are comfortable proceeding with this, knowing what funds you have available?
Yes.
Okay. You know, as you know, this is a broken record as far as Cliff is concerned. I'm pleased that you're planning it and should be expedited.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trotter. Mrs. Worsing,
Thank you. I understand that a laundromat has come in over there on Orchard. I don't know much about it or, you know, anything except for passing by, but I was wondering if they've come and gotten a permit.
So at the existing facility there at Orchard, I think we saw that come through some months ago, mm-hmm. where I'm not even certain whether an upsized meter was required or not, but something like that would typically, this is an existing commercial center and they've changed out within the shell of the commercial center. If the facility does not require addition, you know, increasing their meter size, then there's very little. Everything else works based on their water demands, and as water demands go up, of course their fees to the district and their sewer fees go up.
So, I can remember the laundromat who came into Napomo, many years ago, mm-hmm. I guess, and they were required to pay a lot of money up front, and that wasn't. I mean, that was just for their water permit or water. Whatever.
Do you know?
That was.
It was a new facility, or.
Well, it was an existing building.
Existing
over there.
Building. Under the system that we had in place prior to our recent rate adoption, we counted and estimated dwelling unit equivalents of any commercial facility. So when there would be a change within the shell of the commercial facility. Staff would go out and count, and if it changed from an office building to a laundromat, suddenly you might go from one dwelling unit equivalent to 10, in which case there'd be some costs incurred based on that dwelling unit equivalent system. And we no longer, the dwelling unit equivalents were used then to assign their flat rate for sewer. Okay, we no longer have a flat rate for commercial sewer. Now commercial sewer is based on water demand, and that came out of Mr. Reed's review of our data, and we saw that we had a number of facilities that had one dwelling unit equivalent was estimated, but they were using water equivalent to 10 homes. And the inverse was also true, where based just on fixtures, looked like they could use as much water as 10 homes, but they were using one home. So instead, we've converted to the system that says your sewer dues will be based on how much water you're moving through that interior water meter. So it simplified our process and has made it a more equitable assignment of sewer charges.
Okay. And so that's then another gentleman I was speaking with, he's opening, putting an ice cream parlor in his real estate office.
Okay.
He was required to pay some kind of meter charge of $50, plus he has to show some usages. And
our standard application is $50. So if there's, again, Ms. Worsing, it would help me if you know you came in and brought these up, because I don't have them.
Okay. Well, I was just
all at the top of my head
here. Yeah, it just popped into my mind.
I do my best
with the ice cream man.
But if you let me
Yeah, but anyway, I was concerned because I, this didn't, you know, we, as a board, didn't hear anything about the laundromat, so I was, you know, that's all accumulative, and so I don't know. So I'm still a little, you know, disturbed why we don't count more for our water allocation for the commercial. So that was, you know, why I'm concerned. Thank you.
Mr. Eaton, Mr. Wing, anything on the manager's report?
Actually, I'm not sure whether Mr. Buell's report is a part of the manager's report.
Yes, so, it's an attachment.
I'd like to hear it. Or if it's a separate item, that's all.
Mr. Buell's a written attachment to the manager's report. Okay. But do you have...
I'd like to hear the presentation.
Mr. President?
Do you want to go on?
Yes, Mr. Buell, please. Following page 2 of the general manager's report, I've submitted a memo. It's dated March 15. What I've done, this is the first such submittal to the general manager and then to your board. I have tried to describe for the period, as you know, I reported to work on the 27th of February, for the period February 27 through March 15, the progress that staff, and not just me, but Michael and Dan in particular, have attempted on looking at the water intertie project, the Southland Wastewater Treatment Facility upgrade, the Southland Shop, standards and specs, Hetrick, Black Lake, frontage road relocation, telemetry and control, or SCADA, the GIS system, the basin groundwater monitoring, and preventative maintenance. What I hope to do for your board for every meeting is to give you this 2 or 3 week snapshot of our activities and the status of each of your projects. And we're adding new projects, as I became aware of them, so that you'll get a fuller picture. But what this does in particular, it tells you for each project, what is the status as of this date, and what was accomplished in the past 2 weeks. And I'll also try to give you an image of what's coming up, so you're not blindsided on any of these. So I don't know if that's what Director Wynn was looking for, but I'm here to answer any questions on any of this.
I only have two things, one of which I think, and I would prefer to talk to counsel. I think we have potential litigation, absolutely. Now, whether it's pending litigation, probably not at this moment, about our Southland operation. And if we can obviate the necessity for even dealing with that by moving it, and I'm not opposed to it, just because Caltrans likes it doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
Oh, they just wanted the shop relocated, well, not the wastewater treatment facility.
I'm just saying, if in the process we can spend money once instead of twice, I think it's to our advantage to do it. But again, there is nobody in the public here at the moment, but it still isn't formally closed session. So if we could schedule that for some future discussion, I would like to do it. The other question I have is on the telemetry, the SCADA. So far as you know, is there any intertie between our telemetry and the SEMA station that's going to be set up in Black Lake, or is in the process of being set up in the, in the Woodlands?
No. No. Had that been... I have a... basically a meeting with the contractor and with Dan scheduled for next Tuesday to talk about the finaling of the contract, and prior to which I'll review the contract. But I was not aware that that tie-in was part of our...
I don't know that it is.
Okay.
I was only curious.
Okay.
I would like to be kept up to date on the process of that station, because for the RAC, again, the RAC funded this. It's been 4 years now. Continues periodically to come up, when is this done, it's already been paid for, how come it's not there? And we understand why it hasn't been done. It has to have certain level of turf and so forth and so on before it can be established, but when that's operating, we would like to know about it.
So
Now, I believe, again, it's the RAC who is dictating the CEMA station, not the district.
That's right.
However,
That's right.
You'd like district staff to...
But if you're already talking with the Woodlands about things, instead of me developing a separate and independent communications with them on this one topic, I can do that.
No, I don't believe it's the Woodlands either. I think it's County Public Works. Well, I'll find out on the CEMA station and get an update on that, Joe.
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it is County Public Works. It's responsible.
I do have a question, please.
Yeah, did, please.
Thank you. Did this office receive a map of the proposed roads that has been released? I understand. I've not seen it personally, but I understand that there's, you know, and I'm wondering if that's a proposed something that might affect the Southland Station. So I understand it was released a few days ago. I've not seen it. But
I have not seen it.
Proposed roads in the area of the Southland facility?
In the Pomo. All new road proposals.
Actually, yeah, new roads that are proposed in the South County plan area.
I've seen nothing come across my desk. That's something that I
can... Traffic?
Traffic and circulation and Slocock both have
that
interchange.
So is that where we can get one?
Yeah. I have documentation on that, but I didn't think it'd come up to this.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we can download that?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'd be curious.
Just to talk about that Southland Facilities upgrade a little there. The shop... We have an RFP that the project's assistant's recommendation. I think it makes sense that we're looking to accomplish two things under. One, of course, is it's driven by the NOV from the regional board that says come up with a design that is going to prevent these violations in the future. And that's particular to our treatment train. We also have some upgrades to that treatment train that staff recognizes are needed and we intend to get accomplished. On the other aspect of the project is the facility, the staff shop facility itself, which is separated from the wastewater plant, okay?
Yeah.
And so everybody knows that's right on the curve of the road there. And at that shop facility, the upgrades that we intend to discuss and design and consider here at a future meeting would be to put a staff shower and changing room at the facility and to increase the amount of covered storage space for equipment that is now currently outside. Not highly expensive upgrades, but upgrades that are long past due. As I understand, the district has been waiting for the Caltrans or Egg City or, you know, which is the specific plan, a brand amendment, I think it's called, down in that area, for a number of years and has been operating again with staff operating in close contact with human waste who don't have a changing room and a shower because we're waiting for all these things that may happen. And it's really staff's feeling at this point that we can make these changes, make some investment, and that as developers come along, or if there's a project that Caltrans is going to do, well, then there'll be monies and funding available then to move our shop facility potentially, that type of thing. And then in regards to moving the Southland treatment facility, the actual treatment train and works of our wastewater plant, certainly something that can be discussed in the future. And in fact, our projects assistant has great experience in siting or attempting to site wastewater treatment plants. It is not something in today's political climate that many communities are successful in. So we have a location. It is my feeling, at least at this point, that we're going to do everything we can to hold on to it and enhance it and make it the best location it can be. We start doing siting studies around this community as to where we want to move that plant to, it's a long process.
Not to be a nitpicker, but I've mentioned this a couple times before, and it would really reassure me if you said it was on your list. When you do that, that shop also needs
an exhaust fan and exit for your portable power plants. Because when we had the big earthquake and there was a power outage, they started up the gasoline generators there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they couldn't close the place up because it was trapping all the carbon monoxide inside. And so they had to leave those big gates or big shed doors open.
Overhead doors.
About like so, which meant then it wasn't secure unless somebody was hanging around all the time. So while you're in the process of doing that, if you could add that one feature, it certainly would make your operation a lot
positive evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Although if you have an earthquake and a power failure, that doesn't do you much good, but you need a combination of passive venting as well as positive ventilation.
But even if it just simply had an outlet, the exhaust outlet was piped to the outside. Mm. I mean, depending on where you locate it. I'm not trying to suggest details. I just know that you don't want to have to leave the place guarded and the doors open every time you have a power outage.
Mm-hmm. Security of that site is something that's the fencing is around the shop facility. Now the fencing around the treatment facility has been upgraded, you know, for the ponds and whatnot, but at the shop facility
is sort of just out there.
It needs much improvement in
Okay. Anything else on the manager's report?
Mr. President,
yes, Mr. Buell,
quickly, Director Trotter has requested a tour of sites for the NCSD waterline intertie project, and I don't know if Cliff would object, but what I would propose to do is to arrange a time with Director Trotter and then email the rest of the board. I can take up to two directors at a time, and if unless Director Trotter objects, I think it would be more efficient if you're interested that you respond to that email. And if you want a separate tour, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Buell. Then with that, we'll move to committee reports. Committee reports, Mr. Eby.
I guess we met as the committee once or twice since the last time. It was to discuss tweak the objectives, and I think we tweaked them to everybody's satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with what's on the website.
Excuse me, which committee was that?
This was the ad hoc supplemental water committee.
It's looking at the ADEIR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, administrative draft.
Right. We were just finalizing the wording on the objectives.
Okay, Mr. Wynn, you have any?
And then the Conservation Committee met with the General Manager and with our new Conservation, I always get the title wrong.
Conservation.
It's not Water Nazi, I know that, but it's Water Conservation Specialist, thank you. On Monday the 13th, just for an exchange of views and looking at the preliminary work that she's doing, which was very impressive, and we, with only one small side trip into theology, we stayed on water the whole time and did just fine.
Mm-hmm. We did do just fine. Okay. As I stated, the Personnel Committee has not met since our last board meeting on the 8th. So, Mr. Trotter, you don't believe you have any committee reports to?
Being on no committees.
Well, you are.
Until today.
You are now.
Until today. I have no report.
Thank you. Then let's go to director's comments. I'd like to start with you, Mr. Trotter, on director's comments.
I've interspersed my comments within the meeting itself. So
thank you,
I have none.
Mrs. Wersing, director's comments. Mr. Eby, director's comments.
Oh, yeah. Well, if
Director Roersing won't say it, I'll say it. I've noticed that she's running for Board of Supervisors, and in line with that, there's going to be a candidates forum where all the candidates for the Board of Supervisors will be asked questions and answering questions together in a room at the same time on April 22nd, right here, from 1:30 to 3:30. The meeting is sponsored by Save the Mesa and the Nipomo Parks Conservancy. Other topic is the NCAC had its election last Monday. All of the candidates that were running unopposed, so they were elected. Some of the positions weren't filled. Let's see, the ones that were filled was Area 1, which is this area on this side of the freeway, Vince McCarthy, as one of those positions, and the other one's open. Area 2, which is on the other side of the freeway to the north, Harry Walls and I were elected. Area 3, there were two spots that went uncontested. Area 4, which is past Orchard on that side of Taft, Dan Woodson and Rick Dean were elected. Area 5, which is with Low Sparrows and Palo Mesa and Cypress Ridge. Kevin Beauchamp was elected and one position is open. Area 6, which is Callender Garrett and Black Lake, L.J. Hansen was elected and there's one position still open. Those positions can be filled by the people, who want to petition to the board, and then the board will appoint them by vote. So the first meeting of the new board will be next Monday night at 6:30 here. And that's that. I had some questions I should ask you probably in manager's report, but it's regarding the tentative agenda, future agenda. I just wanted to know what these two topics were all about, the reimbursement resolution for district costs related to the intertie project and the amendment to the annexation policy.
Let me just see if I can.
I have to fill in if I try to.
Right. staff is going to be bringing back to the board a resolution. It's a reimbursement resolution in case we expend district funds that are not already debt serviced through non-exempt, through tax-exempt bonds. That if we go out for tax-exempt bonds on financing this project, we can be reimbursed our costs from the proceeds of those tax-exempt bonds.
You're not required to.
It just leaves you with the option. The second one is we are looking at updating our annexation policies consistent with what I take to be our new supplemental water policies, and to make sure that they're consistent with that and the Board of Supervisors or the county's actions on supplemental water. And there may be some other ticks, of course, and the board will get a chance to comment on them and make other changes too.
Okay. The final thing is I looked at this thing that's going before the Planning Commission tomorrow on the water thing. And first glance through, it looked like it had everything that we wanted. There's some details in there that might need tweaking. Like they mentioned, the cost for supplemental water would be $13,000. I would say that that's what it was at one point in time, but as that was based on a $6 million project, and if the project grows to $10 million, at $13,000 isn't $13,000 anymore. So the language ought to say that probably in that thing that it was $13,000 at one time, but it can be adjusted when we better know the price of the system.
Sort of remember one thing when you take a look at that, and is that subdivision, a payment for subdivision stuff, that only applies to subdivisions that are not developed within the jurisdiction of a water purveyor. Mm-hmm. You know, so in other words, it's not going to be within our jurisdiction, it's not going to be within Golden State's jurisdiction, it's not going to be within Rural Water Company. So
that's their in lieu fee.
Right. So we're talking about what I call the unincorporated area that is not controlled by an overlying water purveyor. So, not an overlying, but a water purveyor. So it's staff's first take, at least my first take on it, is that's going to be a very narrow category of folks. Mm. If they're constructing within the district, within Cal Cities, or within rural, they will be paying not only the upfront capacity charges, but the ongoing fees for supplemental water. Mm-hmm. So it's a very narrow category. But I agree with you that, you know, it's important that we get it done. And when I looked at that, my only comment that I was going to request Mike to bring forward is that the Planning Commission recommended a time to get that ordinance back to, because one of those things when they say we're going to develop an ordinance, you know, well, that just doesn't say, you know, we'd like to get some timing on it as to, or an understanding as to when that ordinance would come back.
I agree with you, John, that that's a small category, but I would suggest that maybe it's a little larger than we sometimes imagine. Because what if somebody in our sphere of influence wants to build, but there is a fairly small footprint. In other words, you're not going to have an island annexation out in the middle of south of Southland. Do they just pay in lieu? I mean, all of that sort of thing.
Right, right. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be fraught with technical problems as it develops, but if you take a look at it, they're going to be required to apply to the district for annexation when they come to their development permit. And so we're going to have to take a look at it, and it'll be the board's discretion as to whether or not to move forward with an annexation at that particular time or not.
Sometimes we'll say to such applicants, we don't want to annex you until this whole area comes in at one step. And they might not want to sit around for 15 years until the rest of the area was ready to be annexed. So I think they're within our SOI.
Director's comments, Mr. Wynn.
Yes. It was announced at our last meeting that the Orchid Society was going to be meeting, and since our chairman is notorious for his humility, I want to say up front that it was a splendid event. And very, very excellent in every respect. And my wife and I enjoyed it.
People felt that the Friday night was the best ever.
It was really very, very good. And I know that he spent a great deal of time organizing it. He's to be commended for that. I met on last Wednesday in Guadalupe with a group that's called the Committee Inc., which is the Committee to Improve the North County. And that's a group that has organized, it's been organized for a number of years now, of North Santa Barbara County city government and some other groups that are looking at the initiative that's coming up in June to form their own county.
Mission County.
This actually, I was just invited to go and listen, which I did, and I've been asked if I would be willing to become an ex officio member of their board, not a voting member, in order to have regular connections with San Luis Obispo County, particularly in water policy. It does actually affect our board. For example, the 400 acres out here that Mr. Parrott wanted to de-annex from San Luis County into Santa Barbara County was put off, as you recall, by a 4-1 vote.
Which was, I think, 4,300 acres or something like that.
And it's to be brought back after this initiative in June. And this certainly would be outside of the basin, that is the hydrologic sub-area, but it certainly would be within the larger Santa Maria Basin. And there are a lot of other things that are not water related that would impact us, but certainly this would be of some interest to us. So anyway, I'll keep you up to date on that, and as they give me material, I'll pass them around to the rest of you. But it was the mayors of Santa Maria and Lompoc and Guadalupe and quite a few people, the 4th District, Santa Barbara 4th District
supervisor sent to legislative assistant and so forth. So I think it may be interesting. The CCGGA, Central Coast Greenhouse Growers Association, met with their quarterly meeting last Friday. A number of people from the advisory council and from the Chamber of Commerce were also present, and they gave an excellent presentation. They still are concerned about water quality and as well as water quantity on the mesa, and that's they make their living like that. This organization collectively grossed over $100 million last year. It's easily the largest business effort in Napomo, and their lifeline is water, so they watch what's going on, and they watch our policies very closely. And I think there's a cordial relationship, although we don't always agree. And last, just sort of a little preemptive apology to the board. My family is all of a sudden having a spate of marriages, two in May and one in June. All of them, well, I'm officiating in two of them, and I'll be the proud father in the third. And what that means is that my schedule will be a little complex. So I hope you'll forgive me if occasionally if you call a special meeting or something that I'm not able to attend, you'll understand.
Trying to put together an orchid show.
Kind of once in a lifetime event. I'll try not to make a habit of it.
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
I was thinking from a humorous perspective.
In America today, about 50-50,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
I pray that we do a little better than that.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Wynn. At this time, I'm still trying to, and I'm trying to get ready for the Santa Barbara show this coming weekend, so I have no comments that are in the forefront of my mind. So with that, I guess, Mr. Seitz, for closed session.
We see no need to go into closed session.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seitz. With that, then, we will adjourn the meeting.
There are sandwiches.
And there are sandwiches in there for those who would like to eat their lunch here. Which I plan to do myself.
What's the plan up north? Are we carpooling?
Let's discuss that.
I have to take my own car because I have duties in San Luis Obispo on into the evening tonight. So.